Last time we spoke about the idea of living with a soul, that a soul is the infinite space inside of you, and that having that space is the key to leading what we call the soul-powered life. And we spoke about confidence, joy, innocence, honesty, love, and faith. Those are the six symptoms of what it means to live with a soul. So I want to start actually getting into it, talking about how that space impacts your life on a very practical level, going through the six things in a deeper way than we started saying them. The highest level of a person is called Keter, the crown. There's three basic parts to a person. It's Keter, the crown. Then beneath that is a person's intellect. There's their Chachma, Bina, and Das. And then beneath that is their emotions. That's the seven emotions that a person has, culminating with the last emotion, which is Malchus. So it's very interesting. We go from crown all the way to Malchus. The point of Keter is the most essential part of the soul. That's the highest level of the soul. That's your most essential part. And fascinatingly, there's three things that are identified with that part of the soul. The lowest level of Keter is called your will. This is the reason why a person cannot want two things at once. You can want two things, and it might seem like it's at once, but it's not really at once. It's, I want this sometimes, and I want that sometimes. That's called being in conflict. I have two desires. But you can never have two desires at once. Not exactly at once. And the moment you have one desire, that totally fills you up. Why is that? That's because your most essential self is expressed through will, but at the lowest level. One level higher than will is called pleasure. The essential self wants pleasure. In fact, what does the essential self want? What is its greatest will? The greatest will is that I have pleasure in my life. So it's not an accident that we're designed to seek pleasure. Because what do I want? I want, that's the lower level of Keter, pleasure, which is the middle level of Keter. The highest level of Keter is called Emuna. And it's Emuna where we will really begin our journey. What is Emuna? We wish a couple, when a couple gets engaged, when a couple gets married, what do we wish them? What bracha do we give them? That they build a bias Ne'eman b'Yisrael. Why do we wish them, of all things, that they have a bias Ne'eman? What does that mean, a bias of Emuna? What do I mean, a bias of Emuna? Bias Ne'eman b'Yisrael. What does that mean? It would be nice if we would wish them they should have a happy marriage, right? Certainly that would be something very meaningful. What's this bias Ne'eman?
Faithful health.
Hey, what does that mean? Really, what does that mean?
Thanking each other, yeah.
What is that? We have to get... We can do better than that. Bechlal, the word emunah is a funny word. Because emunah is something that we all know, like ani mamin, right? But then the truth is that emunah is a lot of things. For example, Moshe's hands. We all know the battle, right? That when Moshe's hands were raised, Klal Yisrael was winning the battle and his hands were being held up by Hur and Aaron. You know what Moshe's hands are called? They're called hands of emunah. It's a very funny thing. Emunah is not just in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a concept of Emunah even in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. So what is this concept of Emunah? In fact, we know that Emunah is used to describe God Himself. Right? Gemara in Shabbos says that when we say Amen, right, that's actually what that really means is Kel Melech Ne'eman. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has described Himself as Emunah. So what is Emunah? See, if it was just us being faithful in something else, then what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a maimon. What does that mean? Emunah is not knowledge. Emunah is not an emotion. Let me explain what I mean. Emunah has nothing to do with the fact that God exists. God exists because God exists. You don't need Emunah to know that God exists. One of the proofs for this is that the Meraglim, when the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael and they said, we can't conquer this land, What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? It was a chisaronim. It was a chisaronim emuna. This was the door that saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Har Sinai. Did they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed? Of course. What were they lacking in? They were lacking in emuna. So emuna is not knowledge. Emuna is also not a feeling. People think like emuna comes and goes with the tide. I feel like this now. I do feel like it. I don't feel like it. That's got nothing to do with emuna. That's your personal sense of being tired and therefore you're not so into it. But that has nothing to do with emuna. What is emuna? Emuna is a journey. It's the journey towards something else. And the inner belief that I can connect with something else. Let's get into this in a very deep way now. If the highest point of your essential self is the point of emuna, then I can connect with another because they share that same point as me. It's this point of emuna in which all of Klal Yisrael are connected. As the pasuk says, Anachnu ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. Emuna is something that is a part, I need to explain this fully, emuna is something that's a part of the very fabric of who you are. And therefore, it's not knowledge, it's not an emotion, it's a talent that needs to be developed. When a person is living in self, when he's at his highest point of self, when he's really conscious of his soul, the result is that he has fantastic emuna. He has the ability to journey towards something else. Now, what is that something else? Anything that shares that same point of emuna as I do. So obviously, that can be the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? What is the soul, as we explained last time? It's a chelek elokam mimal. So of course, I can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an emuna level. But it's not really only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emuna means I have the belief, the faith, so to speak. Even though I don't like using that word, we're going to use it because we don't have a better alternative. It means I have the faith that I can connect to something. Let me give you an example of this on a very mundane level, but a very important level. I think I mentioned this last time, but it's good to repeat. We spend millions of dollars trying to cure diseases that we don't know if we can cure. And yet we do it with complete faith that we're going to cure it. Why? So you'll say, well, because we have no choice.
It's worth the risk.
It's worth the risk. It's not just worth the risk. There's something deep inside of us that tells us that we can do this. That point inside of you that you have to lower the music, so to speak, in order to hear, that point inside of you is called the point of emuna. The faith that it can be better. The faith that I can connect to something higher. That I can journey towards something else. That's what faith is. That's what emuna is. Emuna is not belief. It's not sichli, though we'll see that where I place my faith has to be intellectual. And it's not just an emotion, though there's an incredible emotion that comes along with faith. Faith can be a very exciting and empowering feeling.
It sounds like confidence.
It's not. It's not confidence. Confidence, though, will come along with faith, as we will see. Faith is that inner belief that it can be more, that I can connect to something deeper than myself. You see, when you're not leading a soul-powered life, when the consciousness that you live with is the finite consciousness of your body, of your nefesh habahamis, there's no way to connect with anything else. Because if I'm me, located here in this finite space, and you're you, located here in this finite space, how can we become one? It doesn't make any sense. And that's why the mystery of marriage is so compelling to us. It's because when we look at marriage, it makes no sense to us. How can I become intimate? How can I become unified with another person? The answer is because the real connection doesn't occur on the physical level. That's the pornography, so to speak, of that concept. The real connection occurs on a soul level. That's where it happens. It happens in the point of emuna. I have faith in you. You understand? Maybe Yehuda, that's what you meant by building a home of faith. It's not building a home of faith. It's the faithfulness that builds the home. But that's Mistama what you meant. Let's look at this a little bit deeper now. What does it mean to be faithful? Or better yet, what does it mean to not be faithful? What happens when a marriage lacks faithfulness? When Chas v'Shalom, one of the spouses wander? What happens to the marriage? That's it. It deteriorates. The marriage has become immoral. He wasn't faithful. What does that mean, he wasn't faithful? What type of terminology is that? He wasn't faithful. You know what it means? It's that point of disconnect. When somebody is faithful, this is what it means. I can rely on them. I can trust them. They're steadfast. They're worthy of my placing my faith in them. They're worthy. They've shown me, and we'll discuss what you need to do this in a second. They've shown me that it's worthwhile for me to plant my faith in them. And if they've abused that faith, then they're not faithful. What was that?
It's different than trust.
No, it's very similar to trust. I have to be able to trust them. Because if I can't trust them, why would I put my faith in them? Why would I rely on them? So in the realm of a relationship, when somebody gets hurt, and the vulnerability has been breached, yeah? What happens then? It's very hard to get back in. Now, if the vulnerability is on a medium level, okay, that's your job to get back in it. Right? All relationships have vulnerability. But if the vulnerability has gone to a level where we've been unfaithful to each other, it's impossible to restore. Now, there's a fascinating idea brought down by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I want to share it with you. It's one of the most powerful ideas I've ever heard. What's the only thing in the Torah that has a mystical judgment to it? That you come before Beis Din, and instead of applying Makos, Sota. That's exactly right. The woman comes, she's been warned not to be with that man, and she was with that man. The Torah comes along and says she has to drink the Mesota. If she was guilty, she explodes. And if not, they have bracha in their marriage. What's going on over here? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, a home is built on faithfulness. And what is the husband questioning right now about his wife? He's questioning her faithfulness. And now he cannot rebuild that marriage because the marriage has been attacked on a soul level of emunah, on the most essential level that the marriage was built. And so what happens? Literally, in order to save this marriage, what do you need? You need the Ribbono Shel Olam himself to come back and put trust back into the marriage. Nothing short of that could save that marriage. And think about in your own lives. When you've had a relationship with a friend, with a parent, yeah? Mitzvah Hashem one day with a spouse, though you haven't had that yet. Think about how it feels when you get hurt. When you feel like they've been unfaithful. Not necessarily unfaithful that they've gone and been with somebody else, but they haven't upheld the standards of the relationship. How badly do you feel hurt? The reason you feel hurt is because they've hurt you on a soul level. But the truth is that a person who's living with his soul is able to be faithful and therefore to plant his faith in others. And let me explain to you what I mean. What should we do? Where should we place our faith, right? Because faith is not knowledge, but I should only place my faith in somebody very carefully. I don't put my faith in somebody just randomly. You have to earn my faith. So let's take a look at a maral. Fascinating maral. After Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, and they were in the Midbar, and the Meraglim came and said, you shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. They were accused of having a lack of faith. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? He said something very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't attack them for not having Emunah. He attacked them for saying they should have had Emunah based upon their historical experience. Why? The Maral says as follows. Three times in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the word emuna is used. One time it's used, the first time it's used, is when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the elders of Klal Yisrael, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, right? I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Sneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, and this is the sign. What do they respond? They say, oh, the Pasuk uses the Lashon of Emunah. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has seen our suffering. He's heard our cries. Says the Maral, The first step of emunah, if you want to place your emunah in something, the first thing you need to know is, does it care about you? If it doesn't care about you, don't put your faith in it. That's step one. The second time the Torah uses a lashon of emunah is by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayaminu Vashem uvamosha avdo. If you want to place your faith in something, what do you need to do? You need to make sure that it has the power to help you. For example, if I'm going to place my faith in another, right? I give him my money. I'm placing my faith in him to perform this business for me. First, I need to know that he cares about me. Second of all, I need to know that he has the power. If he's just going to take that money and put it in a bank account, I'm not going to give him that money. It's not logical to place my faith in him. By Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael learned the tremendous lesson. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care about us, and he sees our suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has the ability to help us, to do whatever we need, so we can let go and let God. And finally, and I think probably most importantly, is it's not enough just for somebody to care about you. And it's not enough just to have for somebody to have the power to help you. But they need to understand what it is that you need. And that's why the Maharal says that the last time it uses the word emunah in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is by Har Sinai. By Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to say it over in a language that Klal Yisrael will understand. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to care about us. It wasn't enough for Him to have the power to help us. If you're going to place your faith in something, you need to know that it understands you. Because if it doesn't understand you, how can it help you? And think back in your life, guys. When you got hurt, when you felt like somebody abused your faith, abused your trust, I can promise you that it was on one of those three levels. That either they didn't really care about you, you walk away from a relationship, you feel like, they didn't really care about me. Or they claimed to have the power to do something when they didn't, right? And you felt like, you told me you could do it, and then you didn't come through for me, right? Or finally, they did care about you, and they did have the power, but they didn't understand what it is that you need. This happens with parents all the time. The parent thinks they understand the child, but the child knows that the parent doesn't understand what he's talking about. And therefore, there's a disconnect in that relationship. Faith is the basis of every relationship. That's where the journey begins. The journey begins with a relationship of faith. If you can't have faith in another, you can't have a relationship with another. Now let's look at it from the flip side. If you can't be somebody who people have faith in, then you will never be able to build faith with others. It's a very deep thing. You want to have faith in somebody else? You want to be able to place your trust in somebody else? You want to be able to connect to them on a soul level, not just on a physical level? It requires emunah. But if you want to be somebody who can have faith in somebody else, they need to be able to have faith in you. And that means that you need to be true to yourself and you need to come through in the clutch. You know those friends that they always talk a big game, yeah, I'll be there for you, but then they're not? That hurts. But ask yourself, have you been that person? You might think that you have been that person your entire life, but when you actually start to think about it, and you look at the three parameters of what it means to have faith, you might actually wonder, maybe I wasn't the person I thought I was. First of all, that I actually care about them, that I legitimately care about them. A lot of times when you talk about people caring about each other, they really only care about themselves. I'm really only doing for them because I want to feel good. That's not going to build much faith. You said you had the power to do something when you didn't because you wanted them to believe in you, but you didn't really have that power. Or maybe you thought you knew what they needed, but you weren't listening carefully to what they actually needed. You were putting your own vision of what they needed on them, but it wasn't really theirs. If so, then you have not built faith. True faith comes with those three criteria. Only when you're faithful to somebody else can they in turn be faithful to you. It's your job to create that on a soul level. So Rav Matzio Solomon says something very beautiful. He says that Klal Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the Mitzri, the Pasuk says, Achein noda hadavar, now the thing was known. And Rashi says, what was known? Moshe Rabbeinu said, now I see why Klal Yisrael was never taken out of Mitzrayim. And it wasn't because they were worshipping idols. It was because they couldn't keep a secret, that they had become slanderers. They were going to tell on Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. Why? I want to tell you something very deep about a secret, guys. Let's look at the first time a secret was told in the Torah. What was the first time a secret was told in the Torah? What was that? No, that wasn't a secret. No, before that? By Rachel and Leah. What was so crazy about that story? Rachel and Yaakov had a secret. Do you know what that means when you have a secret with somebody? It means I've placed my trust in you. I told you something and I want it to be right here. I don't want it to go anywhere else. That's a tremendous amount of emuna. What did Rachel do with that emuna? What did she do with that trust? She betrayed it. For the right reason, but she betrayed it. And therefore her relationship with Yaakov was never the same. She wasn't the one to be buried next to him. Because in a certain way, that secret, the trust of that secret was broken. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Achein no da hadavar. The fact that Klal Yisrael could tell on Moshe Rabbeinu for killing a Mitzri, it meant that there was a fundamental disconnect in the relationship. The tikkun of that was they held the secret of redemption for an entire year. They didn't tell any of the Mitzrim. For an entire year, they knew what was going to happen by Malchus Choshech, but they didn't tell anyone. When you can hold somebody else's secret inside of you, when they've placed their trust in you, and you are faithful to that trust, now you're in a real relationship. And if you can do that for somebody else, then you've created the space for somebody else to do that in you. And let me tell you something deeper. If you can do that for somebody else, not only can they do it for you, but now you can find the strength within you to tap into the faith that you naturally have and develop a relationship with Hashem. Developing a relationship with Hashem is something that requires hard work. It's something that requires, if I want to have faith in God, it means that I need to be a faithful person. So this is what it looks like. You know, this is always a tough time of year because you always talk to people and they say the following. On Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything that you need. But, of course I have to work, Rebbe, right? One second. Of course you have to work. But what's the but? What's the but? The but sounds like, obviously not for anybody here, but for if you've heard such a statement in your life, it sounds like, really, God can't do this for me. I don't have faith in Him. If you wanted to let go and let God, you could. The same Ribbono Shel'olam that woke you up every single morning so far of your life, He's capable of providing for your every need. I promise you, He's capable. But if you want to live on that level, that means you have to have emunah. You can't fake emunah. That's not called emunah anymore. If you want to have faith in the Ribbono Shel'olam and say, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I believe the Ribbono Shel'olam can help me work it out, that's called emunah. You can only develop that talent when you're somebody whom others can place their trust in. You know, having Talmidim, I want to tell you something. Having Talmidim, you have to have a lot of emunah. You have to have a lot of emunah. It's the emunah to let you guys go and to believe that you can actually succeed. It's a very deep belief that a Rebbe has in his Talmidim. It's a very deep belief, and it works. It works. It's not just because if you have a certain outlook in life, then it just magically happens. It's when you communicate emuna to others, they have the strength to go do that then. And we see it. Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he told his Talmidim, go out to the sticks of America and build yeshivas. And they did. And it worked. It's the craziest thing. How did that happen? Chafetz Chaim. Everywhere you turn her up, there's another Chafetz Chaim. Obviously Chabad. As one Chabad shliach once said, the Rebbe took a bunch of shlamazels and all of a sudden, everywhere you go, all across the world, there's Chabad. Where did that happen? That's a Rebbe giving over a sense of emunah to his Talmidim. It's the trust, it's the belief that despite the challenging scenario that you're about to go into, you can do this. You want to build relationships in your life? You have to be somebody with whom others can place their trust in. You have to build the concept of faith in your life. Faith is not, emunah has nothing to do with davening hard. That's not what emunah is. That might develop the talent of emunah. But emunah is so much bigger than that. Emunah is the basis of every relationship. I'll leave you with this. When we talk about Emunah and Bitachon, Bitachon being the expression of Emunah, like the Chazon Ish says, when we talk about Emunah and Bitachon, we really, really mean it. We really mean having the ability to say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know this is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to do, and therefore I'm going to do it. That's what Emunah means. It's having the courage to every day tap into that most essential part of yourself and really live with that. I'm going to do the right thing. How's it going to work out? I don't know. And I want you to know, if you talk to anybody in Chinuch and you ask them, how are you making it? It doesn't make any sense. I was talking to this rabbi in Los Angeles last week, and he said to me, he said, I'm in plumbing. My bank is constantly springing a leak, and I have to plug that leak. That's the way he's living his life. He's in plumbing. His bank is springing a leak, and he sees the money just pouring out of it, so he's constantly in plumbing, trying to repair that leak from his bank. How does it work out, I asked him. He goes, I've got no idea. He doesn't know, but it's working. How is it working? It's working because he took the first step. He said, this is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to do, and I'm living on the level of that relationship, and so it works. You can have all the excuses in the book if you want to. All the reasons why it won't work in your life. Come on, Rebbe, that's not realistic. Well, here's the thing about Emunah. Emunah is what makes the impossible possible. If you live on a finite level, yeah, and the story of your life is a finite story, then you're right. It's impossible. It's not realistic. But if you live on a soul level, then the impossible becomes possible. And all the things you thought you could never achieve, all of a sudden become realities in your life. So, to finish, Emunah, just to recap, to make sure that we have it clear, Emunah is that space, that most essential space inside of yourself, the point of connectivity with everything and everyone. Living with Emunah creates the opportunity for devotion. Devotion in a steadfast way. I will be there, come what may. If I gave you my word that I'll do it, I'll do it. I'm worthwhile to place your trust in, because I care about you, I have the power to help you, and I understand what it is you need. And in so doing, I've created a space for you to be devoted back to me. And that's the haschalah of a relationship. And in so doing, I've also given myself the opportunity to realize if I can trust in another, then I can certainly trust in Hashem. And that means that no matter what comes my way, I have the ability to say, this is going to be okay. This is going to work out. Because if it's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, it will happen. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here for today.
How do you...